Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Lord willing, I want to get through four verses tonight. This will get us the whole way through this section on being surety for a stranger. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. He says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Now to get the context, let's just read verse 1. He says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." So the being snared here happens as a result of being surety for a friend with a stranger. So as we looked at in verse 1, in order to be surety for a person, two things are necessary. The first thing is a handshake, when he says, if thou hast stricken hands with a stranger, and we looked at last time that that's a handshake. And the second is a verbal agreement, and he says that in this verse here, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. So that's what you do when you're surety. You give your verbal agreement, and you seal it with a handshake. And when you do that, you are snared, as Solomon is telling us here. So the words establishing a suretyship. And remember, a suretyship is like co-signing for a loan. Basically, whenever you're the guarantor of somebody else's debt, that is a snare to a man. A snare, or to snare, the verb, is to capture small wild animals, birds, etc., in a snare, to catch by entangling. This is what you would call an entangling alliance if you are in a deal to be surety for somebody. And just as an animal gets entangled in a rope or net, so a man gets entangled in foolish agreements to guarantee another's debts. So if you guarantee another person's debt, anytime you think about co-signing for somebody, just think about that net that the bird or the animal gets caught in, and he's all wound up in it, and he's trying to get out, and he can't, and the hunter is walking towards him, getting ready to slice his throat. Just think about that the next time you want to co-sign for a loan. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. And what'll happen sometimes is that sometimes you might, the deal might be totally on the up and up and you just foolishly were surety, or sometimes you might be deceived into it, because wicked people do try to tangle righteous people with their words. An example, this is what they did to our Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 and verse 15. Matthew 22, 15. What they wanted Jesus to do was to say something that they could use against him. Well, when you're surety for somebody, in a sense you are saying something that they can use against you. You're saying, yes, I will vouch for this guy, I will cover his debt, and therefore, whenever he goes back on that debt, then that is going to be brought up, and your words are going to be the snare that makes you liable for that debt. Matthew 22 and verse 15. It says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." So yes, wicked people can use our own words to tangle us up. So you want to be very careful, because wicked men will try to entangle you with carefully worded verbal or written agreements that they can use, that they can get you to assent with by your words, or by your signature, for that matter. So anytime you sign something, any kind of a contract, read it. And I know that sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people sign contracts that don't read them. I mean, I know people that I'm very close with, that signed like big-time contracts, like huge contracts, didn't even read it, just trusted the guy that they were signing it with and figured the lawyer looked at it or something. I'm just like, wow, you are nuts. But anyway, that person learned his lesson.
Kind of reminds me of all of those amendments they want to put in when we're voting. How at the beginning it sounds all great, but if you actually read it, what they're trying to put in with that is bad.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of irritates me is with the amendments or the issues that you vote on, they don't give you all the details on the ballot either. And so you read on the ballot, the part they put on the ballot looks okay, but then you find out later, oh, there's all this other stuff that wasn't even on there. So yeah, so you want to be really careful about that, because if you sign a contract and then you can't come back and say, well, I didn't know what it meant, or I didn't read it or something, you're going to be in trouble. I think an exception to that might be, for me personally anyway, these stupid user agreements online Like, I'll be honest with you, I don't read hardly any of them. I just scan down and just click OK. Because the thing is, they're written in such legalese that you can't understand them anyway. And I don't think a lot of those would stand up in court, because they just know that it's pretty much an unwritten rule that nobody reads the things. And so I wonder if they'd hold up in court anyway.
It would take hours or days to read most of them if you have to actually right. look at how long they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Magnifying glass, too.
Yeah, right. But if it's an actual contract I'm signing, then I definitely read that. So sinful or foolish words will snare the wicked. Just to show you that words can snare you. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Proverbs 12:13. So the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. See how the things that we say can end up snaring us. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. And our own words will be used to condemn a man. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. And this fits. This is not what Jesus was speaking of specifically, but this does fit, that our own words will be used to condemn us. Because if you give your word that you are going to be a guarantor for somebody else's debt and that person doesn't pay, then your own words that you said are going to come back and they're going to say, but you said you would cover this. Well, I didn't think he was going to default. Well, you said, right? So you will be judged by your own words. Matthew 12 and verse 37. Jesus said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And you remember in the parable that Jesus taught in Luke 19:22, that it was said that out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Matthew 12 and verse 19 part. Luke, wow. Luke 19:22. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. So the things that the man said, because he admitted that he was an austere man and he was afraid and he went and hid his talent in the earth and so on. And the guy says, all right, you're going to be judged from your own words. From the things that you said, your punishment is going to come. So you want to be really careful about what you say, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. This is true of agreements, and this is just true of whenever you can't control your temper and you say something you shouldn't, and you can get yourself in a lot of trouble with that. And I'm sure we've all experienced it. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love death, you'll eat the fruit of death. And if you love life, you'll eat the fruit of life. And whether you love death or life will be demonstrated by the words that come out of your mouth. Because if you love life, you'll control your tongue. You'll be sensible enough to realize that I can get myself in a lot of trouble if I don't. And if you love death, you're going to be stupid enough to say foolish things that are going to end up getting you judged.
I've always thought that if you love to talk, then you actually will eat the fruit thereof.
That it is the tongue?
Yes, like talking.
And that could...
I didn't know how to take that. I've already written that verse down to ask about this every month. I
will give you a definite explanation of it in 5 years from now when we get to that verse.
May that love this. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was thinking maybe it has something to do with talking. If you like to talk, then you have to be careful with whether or not you're talking...
Mm-hmm. I mean, you will eat the fruit of what you say, certainly, and what you say can be a determiner of life and death. And so, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'll look into that one a little more carefully when we get there. And then Solomon says in the remainder of verse 2, Proverbs 6:2, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So it's interesting. He first of all says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Then he says, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now, if you turn with me to Isaiah 28 and verse 13, it's interesting that we will see that when a person is snared, he is then taken. So you have to snare somebody first before you can take him, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it. If you're trying to catch an animal, you can't take him until you've caught him, right? You got to snare him and then take him. Isaiah 28 and verse 13. It says, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Snared first and then taken. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So as I've said before, the Lord uses the same means that he uses to teach his children his word. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing scripture with scripture. He uses that method to teach doctrine. You read about that there in the first verses 9 and 10. But then he uses that same exact method in verse 13 to cause the wicked to be broken and snared and taken. They don't compare scripture with scripture. They take one verse out of context, interpret it all by itself, and come up with a faulty interpretation, and they're snared and taken by that. So the very means by which God teaches some, he judges others if they don't use those means that he's given. So the words of the agreement, back to the suretyship thing, the words of the agreement will be used to catch the man and then take him to the cleaners to pay the debt of his friend when he defaults. Catch him and then take him. So that takes care of verse 2.